Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're going to hear from Deshaun Watson. What are they waiting for? You know what, though? If there's anything that I've developed patience for, Landry Locker, B. Scott in for John Lopez.
Yeah, we are conditioned for this.
It's waiting for Deshaun Watson. I mean, we had a two-year trade standoff damn near. I mean, we sat at training camp and watched him play safety for a while. Yeah. I have Deshaun Watson patience. You want to make me wait an extra 20, 25 minutes, day and 25 minutes, I'm okay with it. Yeah. I'm very good with it.
Yeah. I did not enjoy the wait for the trade, though. I'm okay with this wait. We were talking about his legacy earlier and all of that, like how you reflect on it. Do you reflect on it finally or not? If there was a reason not to, or like an extra reason not to, that would be part of it too. Having to wait that long, because I wanted to get to. I did want to get to it. I was ready to get to move on. I ain't want to watch him play safety. I can wait for this though. I can wait for this.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I don't want to wait till tomorrow though. I hope they do it before the damn show is over with. I know I'll be here tomorrow too, but I mean, let's get to it. Is he there? Is he in the building? Is he okay? He's not sick?
He's not
hurt?
Definitely in
Maybe
the building.
Maybe getting extra workout in or something.
Yeah, he's getting some weightlifting in.
Okay. I suppose. Are the reporters not allowed in the weight room? Let's just take this to wherever he, let's meet him where he is. Let's do the Christian thing and meet people where they are. Meet Deshaun Watson wherever he's at, assuming that, you know, he's decent, and get the questions out.
What if his towel's too small?
Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That would be counterintuitive.
What has changed from now? And this was an interesting question. As soon as Deshaun comes through, we'll break to Deshaun Watson live, where his first media availability since being reinstated by the Cleveland Browns a few days before he takes on his former team, the Houston Texans. What exactly has changed when it comes to the status of the organization when Deshaun Watson wanted no part of it to where they are now? And the appeal or lack thereof for someone trying to take over for Deshaun Watson as the franchise quarterback. What exactly has improved? What's worse? What's the same? The obvious is Jack Easterby's gone, which is not a negative thing, to say the very least. But why are things better?
They're only better because of time and because you have draft picks. Like, they are in part better because he's gone, because you have extra draft picks. But let's think about it. When Deshaun Watson was last with the Texans, when he last played for the Texans, they didn't have a first-round draft pick for at least, what, the next two drafts, if you count 22. So at least the next draft, right? Because you would say the previous one. So the one before that and the previous one. So the outlook has changed. The future has changed. Your resources have changed. You are not as cap-strapped as you were because of the Bill O'Brien days. You are not, or at least you're not going to be next year. And you do have the draft picks. You mentioned the obvious of Jack Easterby being gone, but you also have a real GM. You know, when Deshaun Watson left, Bill O'Brien had been the GM, and then Jack was the interim GM, and then you really just kind of didn't. For all intents and purposes, you did not have a GM. And to Bill O'Brien's credit, even before he was actually named the GM, he kind of said that. He's like, guys, there is no GM. You know, and maybe all the while in the background, he's fighting for the power to be that guy. But they didn't have no GM for the last 2 years of Deshaun Watson's time here. They at the very least have one now. Is he a good one? Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out. We're still asking that question and trying to get it answered. But they at least have an actual personnel guy in that role and making those decisions and kind of have somewhat of a future to look forward to.
I mean, I think it's going to come down to who you hire as your long-term coach. Because I don't think Lovie Smith is the ideal guy, especially if you're bringing in a franchise quarterback. I don't think he's the ideal guy for a new quarterback. You have better assets. You have more cap space. I think asset wise, you're in a good shape. Is it the same BS though? Like the BS? I don't think they're going to have another Jack Easterby come around and float around. My thing is this though. Like, is how different were Nick and Jack? Because I think they're different. I think Nick is a capable, qualified personnel guy. And I think Nick actually, you know, had a big hand in what they did in New England. And his role here, while it's more, I think it's similar, the extra BS, the, you know, the roster stuff, the, you know, trying to get this power and stuff. Like, how different are they? I think they're different, like, but how much different?
Leaving those names off the rosters, right?
I think they're different, but how much different? Like, how much different? Like, how does, you know what I'd really want to know? Like, what does David Mulligetta say about all this? And I'm not saying that, you know, that's the end all be all, but David Mulligetta, and I think Nick Caserio did as good of a job handling the Deshaun Watson trade as you could ask anyone to do. I don't think anyone could have done a better job. And he deserves credit for that. But I wonder what, like, David Mulligetta, who orchestrated the power move with Deshaun Watson to get out of here, I wonder what he says about the organization now.
Yeah.
Like, what is David Mulligetta saying about, you know, that Jack Easterby's gone, the Nick Caserio thing? Because he has a lot of clients. I mean, I know he has C.J. Stroud. I know he's going to have Bijan Robinson. I wonder how David Mulligetta feels about this.
Yeah. If I had to guess, I wouldn't feel like it's much different than what seems to be close to consensus about the Texans just being a mess of an organization and a franchise.
Still?
Yeah, because, and this is uncomfortable, but, like, we just got to get into it once we start talking about management. Like, it is a legitimate question that you're asking here of how different is Nick Caserio than Jack Easterby. I think that's a legitimate question, and I don't have a great answer.
I mean, when he comes on and says I have a personal relationship with him, and then he lists all these great things he did, it's like, okay.
Well, and he's also in part the reason, in large, like, I know you didn't want to give him credit for this, but maybe Nick would give him more credit for this than you would. He was in part the reason why he came here. Like,
well, that's what Jack tells people that. Jack says that's his biggest contribution Nick here.
And then your man goes out and says, I got a personal relationship with the guy. And they were on the plane together and all of that. Like, it's hard to discredit that or discount that or ignore it.
Now, you can have a personal relationship with someone and not necessarily be the same. My thing is, though, like, how much does it matter when it comes to, like, because I think a lot of the BS and the over-romanticism and it all matters and, you know, this nuance and stuff like that, I think it got in the way of a lot of things that they could have done better here. And I'd hope that Nick doesn't have, like, those same philosophies that'll, like, bog you down and hold you down.
But see, and this is the thing I'm getting at. There is a legitimate fear that he might, that they might be more similar than we were wanting to give him credit for in the beginning. And then that's at the point where I'd bring it back to Kyle McNair. Like, if these two guys are similar and they do value things that are not important or as important as the things that do matter to us, I guess, my question would be, how long and what does it take for Kyle McNair to see through that? Like, how many of the Jack Easterby types would he have to be around and be affected by until he kind of sees through that and moves on to a totally different type of profile? That would be my follow-up question is, if they are similar, is that something that Cal can recognize and would be problematic enough for him to want to do something different?
And it's weird for me to say, because I've been the Nick Caserio, the biggest, maybe the biggest supporter Nick Caserio has in this building.
I think that's fair.
But I think the last month and a half, you know, as we talk about Lovie Smith and we say he might be the right guy right now, but he's not the right guy after this year. I just wonder, like, is Nick Caserio the guy that gets you through the mud? Because this has been a rough, like, month and a half for Nick Caserio, because there's been a couple of things that have happened where I'm just like, okay, what exactly is going on here? Like, what exactly are you doing here? Because you look at the Brandon Cooks thing. Sometimes you got to take it on the chin when you make a mistake. Like, the best gift that Rick Smith gave us, and it didn't end the way most people thought, was giving us Deshaun Watson before he left. That was Rick Smith's legacy. Rick Smith's legacy was never going to die as long as Deshaun Watson was still here, because he provided the city of Houston with a franchise quarterback that we hadn't had in damn near two decades. How did he do that? Well, they made a Brock Osweiler mistake. They screwed up. They went all in on Brock Osweiler. It didn't work out. So in order to get out of that, he paid a second-round pick, and they sent Brock Osweiler to the Cleveland Browns. And they just basically said, okay, now we're going to have to go back. We're going to have to admit we screwed up. We're going to have to take it on the chin. It sucks that we gave up the second-round pick, which, by the way, ended up being Nick Chubb. But we're willing to do that. Then we're going to trade up for Deshaun Watson. As soon as Brandon Cook said he wanted nothing to do with you and your culture and all that type of stuff, and the Dallas Cowboys, according to the person I trust the most, I would trust my life with what he says, they said that they would give up, they would give you a second round pick for Brandon Cooks, who wanted nothing to do with you, who barely won't even mention your name and talk about your culture. The fact that you weren't willing to pay some sort of price or whatever the price was to move on from that, it just makes me wonder, like, why? Like, why would you not do that? Do you think you're going to do better in the offseason? Because it's hard for me to imagine that you're going to get a second-round pick in the offseason. If you do, then this is a moot point, and it doesn't matter in the fluid process. It kind of cancels out everything I'm saying. But if you weren't willing to, you know, take it on the chin with the Brandon Cooks thing, my question is why? Is there, like, some sort of hardo, like, you know, culture type of thing? Are you sticking your chest out? Why would you do that? And then you have last week with the Lovie Smith stuff and, you know, the leaking. And a lot of people insist that that was all Lovie. Lovie Smith's old school, and Lovie Smith. And look, Lovie Smith yesterday basically said Derek Stingley wasn't playing. So Lovie Smith can't even follow his own line of thinking. But you have this, like, disaster where you're not going to tell who the quarterback is, and then all of a sudden it leaks 5 minutes early. That just seems way too similar to some of the BS that happened in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's
been, I just think it's been a bad month and a half.
I think
him.
It's been sloppy, and which is not a word that I would have ever associated with Nick Caserio, just because, you know, he seems so buttoned up and put together and organized. But I mean, you look at from the coaching hires, like, and I know there's nuance and reasons for that, but you're like, man, what's this guy doing, man? He's hiring a coach every year. The coach, he's never on the same page. The messaging seems to be different with the coaches, but like both of them now. Like, you can go back to last year and point to moments with David Culley where the messaging was off, or maybe sometimes yes. seemed different or inconsistent with Nick Caserio.
Yes.
And then it's happening again now with Lovie Smith. And so, yeah, man, like that to me would be really concerning when you're trying to evaluate Nick Caserio and determine if he is exactly what you thought he was when he got here.
Here's the other thing that has been, like, it's been a rough month and a half for Nick Caserio, and this is, like, the ultimate nobody's talking about. It's actually pretty damn hilarious. Why did they say they fired David Culley?
Philosophical differences. Which none of us
Which was bought. What? Which was what, though? But what do we believe the philosophical differences
Oh,
were?
Yeah, it was put out there that it was supposedly firing Tim Kelly. But
okay,
come
let's
on.
Pretend that that's true.
All right, yeah, let's pretend that that's true. For the sake of the argument, yeah.
Who's a better play caller, Tim Kelly or Pep Hamilton?
Ooh, awkward. Awkward. Awkward.
So philosophically, David Culley was right, if that is the case.
Oh, God.
Think about that.
Oh, God.
Mister, if we got to go three and out, we're good. And the guy who had some of the worst clock management in the world... Philosophically, if there were philosophical differences, David Culley was right, and he knew and he knew better who the play caller was.
Yeah, damn it, Landry. Like, that is not something that I want to acknowledge or even accept. But
think about it.
But I'm stumped by this point that you make. So my thought on that, and yours is I will give you a better
one. This is
one.
Complete hindsight, because I assume that Pep Hamilton would be better than Tim Kelly.
My thought was that. So when they said that. My reaction was, David Culley don't got no philosophy.
And he didn't hire Tim Kelly either.
Yeah, he didn't hire Tim Kelly, and he don't have no philosophy. I talked to the man every week when he was here. What he's a good man. What he wasn't, look, if you want to even say he was an RA football coach, I'll entertain that. I don't think so, but I'll entertain it. What he wasn't was no damn philosopher. about anything, about philosophy, about football, or nothing. David Culley, no philosophy, okay? So if you're going to tell me David, no philosophy having Culley, has a better philosophy than the guy that is in charge of this entire rebuild, in retrospect, that is discouraging. Now, to be fair, I wouldn't have guessed that myself. I would have said, yes. I would have called BS on that at the time. So,
but you're not, you also don't make whatever to be the general manager.
Correct.
The other thing about it is this, and I think we do got to take this into account. You knew you were going to be in the mud these 2 years. So you're in the mud. You don't have as many options as coach. So who knows? But the other thing that I think is really funny, and I was talking about this yesterday, is, Casario likes to use the word nuance a lot. Like, he uses it a ton. Depth and all this type of stuff. There's a deeper meaning. There's a gray area. I don't think in my entire life I've heard, listened to an NFL coach talk that has less nuance than Lovie Smith. So I'm not even saying that as a bad thing, because there's a lot of old school guys. So if we went back to like the 80s or something like that, like, there are a lot of head coaches with this, but it's very simple. We're going to play cover two.
Yep.
We're going to run the ball no matter what, whether they have an extra guy in the box or not. We're going to win the turnover battle.
Landry.
Like, there is no nuance to what Lovie Smith says. Now, maybe it doesn't matter, but I do find that kind of weird. And again, maybe it doesn't mean anything, but when Nick Casario is saying there's nuance, Tell me one time you've heard, like, even David Culley starts talking about life, there's some serious nuance.
Yeah.
There's some serious nuance there. What has Lovie Smith said when talking about football to where you said, you know what, there's some nuance?
You're the podium critic. What happens anytime we ask him about an adjustment or like the next step, like the next thing that you do?
He gets
or
pissed.
Anything about process or anything. He either gets pissed or he'll shrug his shoulders, kind of to your point, and just be like, yeah, well, I mean, it's simple. No, his own words, Landry, what's his favorite phrase? Simply, other than divorce is a good thing. Sometimes divorce is a good thing. Other than that, his favorite phrase, or divorce is a good thing, is his second favorite phrase. His actual favorite phrase is simple as that. Simple, because every damn thing apparently with Lovie Smith is as simple as that, which, look, I can appreciate simplicity to some degree. Like, I don't need you to be, if that's not truly who you are, I don't need you to be super nuanced or super smart or,
no, you gotta
or
do
what,
that.
I'm not, smart is not the right, it's not the word I was looking for. But I don't need all of that necessarily. But man, if he ain't ever been the most simple as that type of dude, like, true to form.
He says that a lot.
Country just, It is what I know. Lopez hates the term. If it is what it is, had a face, it would be Lovie Smith's beard. It would be Lovie Smith and that damn beard, because he is. It is what it is. Well, simple as that. Hey, why is the middle of the field always open? And in this cover two defense, well, it's simple as that. That's the part of the field that we don't defeat. We got to tackle. Simple as that. We got to knock the ball out. Simple as that.
There's 10 guys in the box. You still got to run it. Simple as that.
Hey, do you think you could knock the ball out? Do you have a better chance of knocking the ball out better if you were closer to the, if you as a defender were closer to the person with the ball? Would that help you in knocking the ball out? Well, we just got to get there and tackle, and it's simple as that.
We got to coach better. Simple as that.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know what?
You can't turn the ball over. Simple as that.
And sometimes it is. But my problem with it is
sometimes
like,
it's not.
But you know what though? If it is simple as that, then go do it. Like, if it is.
Yeah, because I don't think it's as simple as he says it is.
But if it is, then do it. Well, like, okay, so if it's that damn simple, then let's make it happen.
Landry Locker, B. Scott in for John Lopez. Deshaun Watson, what are they doing over there, Figgy?
So, a little update. They actually moved the press conference, physically moved the press conference out of the locker room to the field house.
Oh, okay, because there were so many people?
I guess so.
Okay, so how long is this process going to take?
I have no idea.
I mean, are y'all stupid in Cleveland? I like Cleveland. I'm not going to generalize Cleveland, but did y'all not think that maybe that when Deshaun Watson was speaking, you might need more room?
Oh, we wasn't expecting all of these people to be here in the locker room.
Oh, we weren't expecting a lot of people to be here. Goodness gracious. But you know what? You got to move it. Simple as that.
Simple as that. Sometimes it's just that simple, Andrew.
We'll hear from Deshaun Watson, we hope, coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go straight to Deshaun Watson.
The ownership, my teammates in that locker room, all the coaching staff for all the support that they had for me. Especially my time away. Also want to thank all my trainers, all my personal trainers outside when I was going away, who helped me stay in shape, you know, grind to put in the work so I'm prepared when I come back. Thank also T3 Performance Trainers who was out there throwing with me with my time away. Also want to thank all the Cleveland fans in the city of Cleveland for, you know, embracing me, but also helping me adapt to the community. It's been awesome. It's been great, you know, being out, going to dinner and social places, being able to hang out with some of the fans and interact with them. And I also just want to thank just everyone that's, you know, been sending out some positive energy towards my way. But I understand that you guys have, you know, a lot of questions. But with my legal team and my clinical team, there's only football questions that I can really address at this time. And I also want to thank, most importantly, Jacoby, the big brother he's been to me and everyone in that locker room, the passion, the grit, the leadership he has shown these past weeks. Everyone has seen it. I mean, he's the ultimate guy that everyone wants to, you know, follow. So he's been awesome for me. Our relationship has been great. The bond has been great. And we're going to continue to grow from there and, you know, help win some more football games for the Cleveland Browns. So I'm open to answer any football questions. Tom?
Sean, part of your agreement with the league was to undergo counseling and therapy while you were away. What did you learn about yourself during that time, and how do you apply that to now and going forward?
You know, I respect your question, I understand, but that's more in that phase of clinical and legal stuff. And, you know, I've been advised to, you know, stay away from that and keep that personal.
Tony, Sean, here's a football question.
I'm gonna call you.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Go ahead, Tony.
Thank
Sean,
you.
How do you feel about playing your first game in Houston?
You know, I'm excited. I'm excited to just play football in general, in front of Cleveland Browns fans, but also in front of some of the Houston Texans fans. You know, I respect the whole organization of the Houston Texans. I respect the McNair family. I respect everyone that was there that drafted me in 2017. There's been great memories, fun memories. I still have a home in Houston. I still have friends and family that's still in Houston. The relationships are still there. People, some of the players on the team, you know, I play with are seeing, you know, come up from, you know, maybe practice squad or from injuries. So, you know, I'm excited to get in front of all those fans. I have so much love for the city of Houston and H-Town, and everyone in that city pretty much knows that. So I'm excited to do that. But, you know, the most important thing is, you know, I'm excited to be in front of the Cleveland Browns fans for sure.
Ed, go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is a football question. It also ties in some of the other stuff, but it's football related. So What do you say to fans who might still believe, after all this happened, that Deshaun Watson should not be the face of an NFL franchise? What do you say to those folks?
Like I said, I'm focusing on football. That's my main focus is football and preparing to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns so I can execute the game plan to try to get a win this Sunday.
Scott, Deshaun, was it important to you to come back to this Texans game when you agreed to that settlement?
No, I was just trying to whatever I can do to play football in 2022. So, you know, most of the settlement stuff with the NFL was mostly my agency and legal team. I had no control. My main focus was doing everything I need to do so I can play this year.
What do you think the reaction or atmosphere
would
be like?
I'm not sure. My main focus is locked in on the game plan and trying to execute and make sure that I'm keeping the standard for the Cleveland Browns so we can try to win.
Cam?
I think my biggest focus was the mental part of the game, staying locked in on defensive schemes, staying locked in also as much as I can with the scheme that we have here with the Cleveland Browns and with Kevin. So trying to watch from afar and learn and see what Jacoby is seeing on the field during every Sunday. I watched every game like I was preparing myself to play. You know, I kind of knew exactly what was going on. I wasn't in those meetings early on in the year, but once I was able to be in those meetings, I was basically preparing like I was a starter that week, asking Jacoby questions, what he see, and the different things that he experienced during the game. So I think that was very, very helpful.
Ashley?
Like I said, I'm focusing on just being the starting quarterback and executing the game plan. That's my main focus. I'm not, you know, worried about the atmosphere. I got to go in and make sure I execute the game plan.
Jake?
Deshaun, on August 18th, you said that you wanted to tell your side of the story at some point and that people haven't been interested in listening to what you have to say. So at some point, will you take non-football questions down the line?
Like I said, at this time, I can't address any of that stuff. Who knows what the future holds, but right now, I'm so locked in on just basically being the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
James Palmer?
Deshaun, it's a long layoff for you in terms of playing. So what do you think needs to happen to knock the rust off? What do you want to happen? What do you prepare for? Some guys like to get hit early.
Right.
What do you think knocks that rust off early?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I haven't. This is my first time having time off. So my biggest focus is just going out there. And just really whatever Kevin calls, make sure I'm executing, taking it one play at a time, and let the game come to me, not pressing or anything like that.
Jeff?
Hey, Deshaun, what can you add to the offense to make this more explosive?
You know, I just really just try to make as many plays as I can. You know, if that's with my feet, with my arm, that's, you know, handing the ball off to 24, 27, whatever I need to do to, you know, try to make this offense continue to do what they're doing. You know, Jacoby, like I said before, Jacoby's have, you know, I think our offense is in the top five in pretty much every category. So, you know, I got to hold up to that standard and do everything I can. Don't try to do anything special. Just try to let the game come to me and execute whatever needs to be for the quarterback.
Tony?
Hi, Deshaun. At 4-7, this season is kind of on the brink for this team. Having missed 11 games, do you feel any particular responsibility to put them over the top if you can?
I think my biggest responsibility is just, like I said before, is just keep iterating, just doing what the scheme allows me to do. And that's, you know, executing the game plan, getting the ball to the playmaker's hands, and just try to win, try to pick points, more points than the other opponent. And if I continue to do that, we can't focus on the next game. We can't focus on two games, three games down the road. We have to worry about being 1-0 this week. And focus on that.
Ashley.
During your time away from the building, I mean, I know you've been back a few weeks now, but what was most important for you to kind of stay in football shape when it's been so long since you last played a regular season game?
Like I said, mostly it's the mental part of the game, just staying adapted and and adjusting to, you know, different schemes that defense and coordinators are trying to do for not just for our scheme and our system, but for everybody. I watched everybody. I watched a lot of different quarterbacks. I watched, you know, Mahomes. I watched Tua. I watched all these guys that's playing every Sunday. I try to learn from everyone. You know, I'm not the guy that kind of interchange just for myself. I like to watch other quarterbacks, and I'm a fan of a lot of different quarterbacks around the league. You know, I have so much respect for everyone. So my game is I want everyone to succeed so I can be able to learn from them and apply it to my game.
Just a quick follow-up, like physically, what was most important?
Oh, physically, sorry. Physically, just really, like I said, staying in shape, running, throwing the ball as much as I can, making sure my arm is in shape to throw however many footballs I need to throw on Sunday. You know, lifting weights, that's pretty much just constantly working out.
Chris?
Deshaun, you got that those three series in Jacksonville in the preseason. What can you take from those that opportunity that you can use now as you get ready for a regular season? How different was that compared to a regular season?
Our biggest plan for that three series was just operational. Hearing Kevin in the headset, being able to adapt to how he's calling plays, how, you know, different personnel groupings are coming in. That was our biggest thing. Not so much of trying to do the, you know, what it is for a game plan. We didn't, you know, it's still preseason. We're still trying to figure out who we are as an offense. And so my first time hearing Kevin in the headset, that's what we wanted to do. I think it was maybe 9 to 10 plays. So, of course, we wanted to be more successful. But, you know, at that time, that's something that we can learn, and that's why it's called preseason.
Irie?
Deshaun, I'm watching
it's exciting. I mean, you can see it on Sundays that they play with a hot motor. Everyone is playing together. It's one unit. And, I've also got to, you know, go through spring and training camp with them. So I kind of knew how the locker room and how those guys was going to play. But watching them on Sunday, the game is never over. And those guys are going to continue to play to the final whistle. And I'm excited to be able to try to, you know, grain that and prove that energy as much as I can with those guys also. So,
Tom,
Sean, did the time away make you really appreciate who you are and what you have?
I'm always appreciative. I'm always thankful for what I have. My mom went through tongue cancer when I was 14 years old, and she never smoked a day in her life. So I've always been appreciative. I grew up with pretty much nothing, if you know my background story. So everything that, you know, every step I make each and every day, every time I wake up, I thank the Lord because I'm a God-fearing man, and I know who my Lord and Savior is. So that's my main focus each and every day when I wake up. I give him thanks, and I thank everyone around me that helped me get to this moment because I didn't do it by myself.
Kimberly?
Deshaun, you thanked in your introductory press conference. You thanked the Browns organization for believing in you as a person and trusting in the type of player you were. How close do you feel like the Deshaun that we saw a couple years ago on the football field?
We'll have to see Sunday, honestly. Like I said, I don't want to, you know, it might take time, it might not take time. You know, I just want to go out there and do what I want to do, make plays as much as I possibly can. 2 years is definitely a long time, but at the same time, I've been doing this since I was 6 years old. So, just like, you know, riding a bike, I want to go out there and just find the pedals, get my, you know, transition going, and then just let everything kind of come to me. Don't press it. Don't try to make anything bigger than what it really is.
We're going to go three more. Scott?
Hey, Deshaun, I know you're really in this system throughout training camp in the offseason, but watching for the last 11 weeks, have you learned anything about this Kevin's system and how you fit into it?
The biggest thing is it's definitely a quarterback-driven system. We have guys around the quarterback that can make plays. So you don't have to do anything special. Just follow the rules that he wants you to follow. Get the ball in the playmaker's hands and let them do work. You know, the O-line has been doing a heck of a job of supporting and protecting the quarterback as much as possible. Open up the run game for Nick Chubb. I think he third or second in the lead in rushing for a while. He was number one. It's a great system to be in. I'm happy to be in it, and I'm just continue each and every day to learn as much as I can and continue to grow as not just for the system but as a quarterback and as a leader.
Matt?
Deshaun, your teammates, defense and offense, said your accuracy is probably your best attribute. Would you agree with that, and is there something that you know, there's something you do different maybe that makes you so accurate?
You know, I just, my biggest thing is really just try to anticipate the throws, knowing where guys are going to be and knowing how the defense is going to play each and every route. If I can minimize that and try to, you know, get down the detail of how those things are going to do in certain situations, then I can place the ball where I need to be, where it needs to be for the receiver to make the catch. I think that's the biggest thing. I've always been trying to adapt to that, and I know that is timing and just repetition and film work. So I just try to, you know, watch film with those guys. Excuse me, watch film with those guys all week so they can see exactly what I'm seeing.
Are you getting some of that down? I know it's limited, yes, sir. But you're gonna know.
Yes, sir.
Ashley and then Chris.
Just to go off of something you said with playing with Nick, I mean, there's been a lot of speculation that with you as quarterback, given your abilities, that this run game could really open up. I guess just what's it been like? What do you see in that regard with having Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt on this team? And do you think there are some opportunities there for all of you?
Oh, yeah, I think it's some big opportunities for both of us. And they do a good job of feeding off each other. And, you know, it's going to help us overall in the offense. You know, being balanced, being able to pass the ball, being able to run the ball is awesome. And I've been watching Nick since high school, you know, so me and him came out together, and I've been watching him since high school, college. So it's been a long time, you know, for me, and now I have an opportunity for me to play with him for the first time. It's super fun. And then you have Kareem, who's, you know, just me just being in a huddle with him. He just makes everybody more comfortable and more relaxed because that's just who he is. You know, he, of course, he takes the game serious, but, you know, just the way he approaches and he carries himself, it helps all of us in the huddle, and he's a playmaker who can do it all, too.
Chris?
Deshaun, you've been back in, you know, on the practice for the last couple of weeks. How have you been able to, what work have you done to kind of get on the same page with guys like Amari and Donovan and the other skilled players on the team?
My biggest thing when I first got back in the building is hearing how Jacoby talked to him. And hearing how they watch film, hearing how, you know, Amari and DPJ and D-Bell and all the other receivers and tight ends talk to Jacoby, what they're seeing. And then whenever my opportunity came for this week to, you know, step into that starting role, you know, I didn't want to really change anything too much. So me and Jacoby, you know, talk with those guys. We watch tape after practice. You know, they're seeing what I'm seeing. I'm able to stand up in the meetings and see, let them know what I see. And if they have anything, they see anything differently, then, you know, let's be able to have that communication, that relationship where we can talk and adapt and not be so much of, you know, robots in the system. So, and that's awesome for Kevin and AVP to be able to allow that for the players to do that. So,
all right, thanks, everyone. We got
Thank you.
Practice.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Deshaun Watson live here on Sports Radio 610. Not really wanting to get into football stuff. Did shout out the city of Houston, shouted out the franchise, shouted out the McNair family. We'll react to that, play the hits. We'll also hear from Chris Moore, Texans wide receiver straight off the practice field. Keep it locked in the loop with B. Scott in for J-Lo continues next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we're going to hear from Chris Moore shortly, Texans wide receiver. Just heard from Deshaun Watson. He finally mentioned Houston. This was Deshaun Watson talking about playing in Houston where it all started as he makes his return to a regular season football field for the first time in 700 days.
I'm excited. I'm excited to just play football in general. In front of Cleveland Browns fans, but also in front of some of the Houston Texans fans. I respect the whole organization of the Houston Texans. I respect the McNair family. I respect everyone that was there that drafted me in 2017. There's been great memories, fun memories. I still have a home in Houston. I still have friends and family that's still in Houston. The relationships are still there. People, some of the players on the team, I play with are seeing, come up from, maybe practice squad or from injuries. So, I'm excited to get in front of all those fans. I have so much love for the city of Houston and H-Town, and everyone in that city pretty much knows that. So I'm excited to do that. But, the most important thing is, I'm excited to be in front of the Cleveland Browns fans for sure.
There you go. Your thoughts.
Do we, though? Like, do we all know that? He said, I think everybody in the city knows that. I don't think everybody knows that. I don't think we do, though. Like, and I'm not saying that he doesn't have love for the city. Like, he should have love for the city. It's a hell of a city, and I think it was good to him. Maybe even if the Texans as an organization weren't, it's a city that invested in him. It is the reason why he is Deshaun Watson. Like, I get that he won a national championship at Clemson, and he was a highly regarded prospect, blah, 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 blah. But the reason why he is considered a top 10 quarterback, or the type of quarterback that could command the largest guaranteed contract in NFL history, is squarely because of what he did here in Houston and the memories that he made here. So I would expect that, but yeah, I would expect him to feel that way. But yeah, no, I don't know that we all. Here's what I'm curious of. Did he mean that about respecting the ownership and all of that? Like, does he respect the franchise and respect the ownership, the one that he wouldn't play for last year and demanded a trade from? Like, I don't believe. Does he respect the person that empowered Jack Easterby for however many years it was, and ultimately is the reason why he wanted out? Like, I don't think I necessarily buy that. I feel like that's just some lip service, him trying to say the right thing in front of the camera, in front of the microphone.
I thought it was a pretty smart strategy not to answer any non-football questions. I know it's probably frustrating.
You think?
I think it was a smart strategy. He stuck true to it. I know there's probably some frustration, but I think that would be probably the smart approach for Deshaun Watson. Just stick to football.
Yeah, yeah.
None of the servant leader stuff, all that. Just stick to the football.
None of the I stand on my innocence either. Like, you don't want to give. Because, see, the thing about the whole commenting on, it doesn't matter what side of the ledger you stand on in terms of Deshaun Watson, but it is of no benefit. And somebody just texted in that he's politicking. That's absolutely what he was doing and absolutely what he should have been doing all along. Like, there's no benefit in going either way, one way or the other, because you risk either incriminating yourself or saying something that the other legal side can use to weaponize against you if you're too remorseful. And if you're over there talking about how you stand on your innocence, then you're going to have the other side of the righteous indignation, right? The other folks that are like, oh, how dare he stand on his innocence? We all know he done it. You know, you're going to have that. So you absolutely got a politic in this situation. This was in his best interest to go straight down the middle and just talk football. It was a smart move.
Good strategy.
Not only was it a good strategy, it made me wonder where in the hell was this all at the last few times when you talked to the media and you went just a little bit left. Like, I thought his first press conference in Cleveland had the potential to be what this one was, but then it just went a little bit left a time or two. Like, he was very close to doing this and just had a couple moments there where it was like, all right, why did you say the no regrets thing? Why, you know, like, come on, man. Just keep it straight. Keep it straightforward. Politic that bad boy.
He did.
Yeah.
Did very well.
I don't know what kind of politician he would make, you know, cause he got a little scandal tied to him. But,
well, he might make a good one.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it kind of seems might, like he might
actually be on track.
Pretty on
be,
brand.
He has a senator seat in his future, possibly.
He might be good. Let's play the hits here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day.
You're listening to In the Loop
with Houston's sports leader,
Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's have a little joke off. Joke off. J-O-K-E-O-F-F. Who had the funnier joke this week? Was it Lovie Smith or Kyle Allen? This was Lovie Smith trying to, execute a little Deshaun Watson joke on Monday.
Coach, what is it going to be like to prepare for a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, who has been away from the game for a while, and this is going to be his first game back? How do you evaluate him, or how do you go and get prepared for him, knowing that he's been away from the game so long?
There's not a whole lot of video on him, is there? We have a whole lot of it, though.
That's joke number one.
Hey, tough crowd, too, because they didn't give it to him. You know how the media normally...
There wasn't no fake laugh in there.
Man, they usually try to be friendly and go ahead and give you the fake laugh.
I don't think he executed it too well.
No, because I don't think they realized it was a joke. Yeah, because his tone is the same no matter if he's joking, serious, mad.
Well, his tone was a little more intense hours before that, 24 hours before that.
It was still pretty close. It was still pretty close.
So that's joke number one. Joke number two. Kyle Allen talking about his former college teammate, Myles Garrett.
If you could speak to Myles Garrett, what would you tell him now?
Be nice to me.
All right. So who wins the joke off, Figgy? Is it Kyle Allen or is it Lovie Smith?
To be honest, I got to go with Lovie Smith because how bad this joke was, how nobody responded to it. And I could tell he had it in his back pocket like, oh, yeah. Because don't nobody have tape on him, but we do.
Yeah, I think it's Lovie Smith because it was an actual, like, Kyle Allen is kind of joking, but he's also kind of serious. Like, in terms of, hey, like,
be nice to me.
Be nice to me. He can't say this, but hey, some of my offensive linemen are not very good. The tackles are good, of course, but some of my offensive linemen are not very good, and neither am I. So, yeah, be nice to me. Whereas Lovie Smith, this was an actual joke that he just didn't really deliver. And this has happened before. I can't remember what the joke was, but it happened last year too when he's defensive coordinator. and he made a joke. It wasn't delivered like a joke, and so we didn't take it as a joke. And so he had to say, oh, man, no, I'm just trying to be a comedian or something up here. And then he gets into the actual comment or whatever his actual answer is. But Lovie Smith, even if the joke is funny, got to work on that delivery.
Who's the wackest?
There's not a whole lot of video on him, is there?
Who's the wackest member of Kings of Comedy?
That was actually funny, though.
Who's the wackest member of Kings of Comedy? If y'all had to say who the worst is. Who's the best and who's the worst?
D.L. Hughley.
It's got to be D.L. Hughley.
Yeah, everybody knows
the best is Bernie and the worst is D.L. Hughley. Even though I feel like Sid's
the best.
Yeah, no, I know. I feel like
actually Sid, Steve Harvey was pretty damn good.
Steve was more of the host, though.
Yeah, he was more of the host.
Yeah, but he was funny as hell.
He was
too.
Funny. He was funny. Yeah. That's the reason why.
He was more of a host. He wasn't part of the crew.
But he was
actually bringing them out. He was.
Yeah, he was.
He did his thing too, but it wasn't a full set like Bernie Mac or Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah, he had it throughout the night.
He would do sets through the segue. He was the segue, and it was really good. I think Bernie gets a little bit more because he died. Be honest. I think he gets a little bit more love because he died.
I don't think so. I think people was talking about Bernie when he was alive,
Bernie
though.
Was always funny, though.
Yeah, no, but I think in retrospect now he gets even more love because he died.
Bernie could be
but
funny.
No, but he's hilarious. No, absolutely.
I loved him in Above the Rim, too. It's underrated.
Yeah.
God, they killed
Bernie
him.
Bernie Mac show was underrated, to be honest.
With some milk and cookies. Yeah, it was so good.
I think Cedric's the best.
Yeah.
I saw Cedric in stand-up.
You calling
awesome.
No man delicious?
Will Levis has declared for the NFL draft. 2,827 yards, 24 touchdowns, rushed for 376 yards and 9 touchdowns. Will Levis, does that intrigue you at all from a Texans perspective?
No. Should I be more specific? No.
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 Please no.
No.
Please no.
No. No, no, no. I've already decided, Landry, what I want to do with these picks, and I can't be talked off of it. I don't know if it's going to go anything like the way I want it to go, but I've already decided what I want to do with the number one overall pick, and you would already be taking a quarterback. That's Bryce Young. So don't need a quarterback with that second pick, dog.
Astros are being linked to Cody Bellinger. I heard Clinton Show talking about this yesterday. There's a little bit of a disagreement.
Well, a little bit.
As to whether or not you would want to bring Cody Bellinger in. For me, it's a no-brainer. Hell yes. He's 27 years old. He was MVP 3 years ago. He can play first base and outfield.
Can he?
Kick the tires on him. Just see. I mean, if it doesn't work out, then who cares? Like because he said some stuff, Carlos Correa is not here anymore. He said some stuff about the Astros. Who cares? This is the kind of guy that you kick the tires on if you're able to, if you have the luxury of doing so.
Yeah, I was talking to the show in the hallway in between those segments about this. I was like, it all depends on what is the market for Cody Bellinger. Like, if it's a kick the tires type of situation, then yeah, I would do it. But if he commands any kind of dollar that's significant or worth anything, I wouldn't be that interested. I think the reason why, honestly, Andre, like I paid attention to this a little bit the last couple of years, he just flat out has sucked.
Yeah, he's been awful.
Like, and that's the reason why be less intrigued by it. Like the whole age thing, former MVP thing, if you could make the former MVP part more recent or like with the age, I almost look at it as the opposite. He's this young guy who... The National League equivalent to the Astros, when you talk about consistency over there with the Dodgers, don't want him no more. Like, to me, if he ain't good enough to play for the Dodgers, he ain't good enough to play for the Astros. Sorry. I mean, we're the same thing, basically. Just a little
except
bit.
Champs, except champs.
Right. Except a little bit better.
Dump that figgy.
No, what I'm saying, like, if he's not good enough to play over there, why would he be good enough to play over here?
Well, we're going to hear from Chris Moore straight off the practice field coming up. We got a lot to get into. Got some lunchtime confessions, and we'll react to what Deshaun Watson had to say. Keep it locked. In the Loop continues coming up.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.